And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a mother-daughter knitting production. This week's segments include On the Needles,
Mother Knows Best,
When Knitting Attacks, and Events. Come on, let's chat. Welcome back, listeners. We've got another week and another show, so let's get right into the thick of it. Hey, Mom, how's it going?
Excellent. A little bit sore, but otherwise wonderful.
Excellent. Do you want to tell us why?
Yes, I went to a Tai Chi introductory class at the Municipal Rose Garden in San Jose today.
Lovely.
Actually, it is. I've never been to the Rose Garden, and I don't think you've been either.
No.
It wasn't somewhere where I took you guys when you were little.
Nope.
It's a lovely place, and we had a Tai Chi demonstration instruction there. Gregory, who is one of the gentlemen in our knitting group, mm-hmm. is also a Tai Chi instructor, and so he had pinged me a flyer because he knew I was interested.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. And I had asked your brother to come along.
Uh-huh.
All karate guy that he is.
Yeah. My brother does martial arts, for those of you listeners who don't know us in actual life.
So I invited him, and he said, no, Mom, Tai Chi is an old lady martial art, and while I'm thinking it is excellent for you, I don't want to go.
Okay, his loss?
Very much his loss.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the instructor, David, is Chinese, and very tiny, very petite man, very much reminiscent of Bruce Lee. Looking at him, you wouldn't guess. And then he does moves and their muscles pop out that you didn't belong existed in such places. And very easy, with a flick of a wrist, and he had these big guys who were obviously regular students,
mm-hmm.
in a two-finger lock, so the ring finger and the middle finger of his left hand, he attached them to their wrist, and all of a sudden they were turning bright red and going down,
uh-huh.
and tapping out.
Uh-huh.
And he said Tai Chi is as much or as little as you want it to be, and uh-huh. as little as you put into it, or as much as you put into it.
Okay.
And he likened it to being like a duck. You swim on a lake and you look all serene on the surface, and underneath you're paddling like the Dickens.
Okay.
And so the weather was beautiful. We stood in the shade. And I've done a lot of dancing through the years.
Uh-huh.
And this also reminded me a little bit of the first time I took a country western class,
mm-hmm.
where I was the only beginner, mm-hmm. and everybody else knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
And I'm frantically trying to catch up and breathe and not look clumsy.
That's a bit of a challenge. Being clumsy tends to run in our family.
I'm as graceful as a duck.
Exactly. And I would have joined Mom, except that Andrew and I had plans for this morning to celebrate our anniversary.
Of?
Our 7-year anniversary. We've been together for 7 years. We haven't been married for 7 years, but you know, it's our dating anniversary, and it counts, and it's a fun one. So we went and we saw The Dark Knight, which was excellent, but violent without being graphic, if that makes sense. So I really enjoyed that, but...
Well, this was excellent. This was not violent. Very, very interesting, though. Oh, and he's encouraged us to ask questions and speak out. And uncharacteristically, I was very quiet.
Okay.
I couldn't even ask intelligent questions. I was so new at this.
Okay. And usually when you're exerting a lot of physical energy, it's really kind of hard to think. That's why I find yoga so calming, because it's so physically demanding that my brain just quiet down. There's just not enough.
I haven't exercised in how many years?
True.
Since the last yoga class we went together.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to, being an Olympic knitter and all that, I can take it a step further, and I'm ready to be exercising again.
Okay.
And holding a pose with your knees bent a little bit and sinking down is challenging, and my leg muscles were vibrating.
Yep.
And then I looked at this tall guy in front of me who had the same issue, and I could see his leg muscle vibrating inside his pants, so I didn't feel all that bad. And the master was very concerned with all the students, and look here, and careful, and don't overdo it, and coming around and giving corrections to posture. And then we were standing around talking, and he told me that I'm kind of shy.
Uh-huh.
And I laughed really hard.
Uh-huh.
Shy?
Yeah.
Moi? I am not shy, but it wasn't the place. I didn't have anything intelligent to ask, so it came up that, and the master knew that Gregory was a knitter, and that's actually how we had met.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very interesting, and I enjoyed it, and I think I'm going to do this.
Okay. Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. Doing Tai Chi and all sorts of workouts like that are its core workouts, which help you sit up straight, and it helps to kind of be stronger overall, which is really, really cool. I found that when I started doing core workouts, I was sitting straighter and standing straighter and just, you know, more muscly in general.
My posture could be better, and with all the knitting and the sewing and quilting and whatever, and the needlework from way back when.
Yep.
I don't want to develop a dowager's hump.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to have better posture anyway, so.
And exercise, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
Yes.
That's how I kind of feel about yoga, but again, there's good and there's bad. So other than Tai Chi, what have you been up to?
Olympic knitting.
All right, let's hear about how your Olympic knitting is going.
Well, we cast on Friday night.
That we did.
And I knitted, and I am working on my chic sweater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's growing little by little.
Excellent. That's a good way for it to grow.
Yeah.
I, too, have been working on my Olympic knitting. I cast on Friday,
yes,
like we were all supposed to. And I did some math before I cast on, and I'll get to that later. And it's Sunday now, and I've done the 14 inches of the body for my Ribby Cardi. And unlike the way the pattern is written, I'm knitting it all in one piece, not top down. I'm knitting the fronts and the back all on one needle, and then I work up the back, and then I work the fronts, and then I'll do the sleeves top down, and I'll have a sweater.
Why is that you decided to do it in one piece?
I don't really care for seaming sweaters. I find it more efficient to do them all in one piece. Also, because I'm knitting with this hand-spun yarn, I want the color to be a little bit more evenly distributed where I can manage it. So I'm not, like, obsessively trying to make everything tidy and identical and uniform, but
not obsessively. So you're going to work from different balls for the front and the back, and the front and the back, and not do an armhole steek thingy?
No, I thought about doing that, but I, given the fact that we only have 19 days, 17 days,
okay,
to do it, I thought this will be faster than saying, oh, I need to do a steek. Because if I need to do a steek, then it'll wait until I can set up the sewing machine, or you can get your sewing machine set up, and then the cutting and the picking up and the sewing. And this way I can just knit them in pieces, and or in just that one sleeve to shoulder section in pieces and then join them at the shoulder and set in the sleeve. So it shouldn't be too big a hassle because when I did my last one, this is how I knit it. So
does it have a zipper?
It will have a zipper, which Mom will hopefully be taken care of for me.
Okay.
Mom did a beautiful job setting in my sleeve in the last, not my sleeves, setting in my zipper last time. So that worked really well. So I asked her to take some of the yarn to match it to a zipper, and I adjusted the length of the sweater in total so that she could find a standard length 20-inch separating zipper in a matching color, as opposed to trying to find a 19.5-inch separating zipper, which I think would be just a little bit more challenging.
Finding it in a store is impossible. Getting one is totally doable. You go to your local fabric store, and they have flyers for their suppliers, and you can order a custom length.
Okay.
I don't know what the delivery time is. I don't think it would work for the Knitting Olympics, but if you have something specific, I think they will do it.
Okay. Well, last time we knit this, you made sure to tell me to make it a standard length so that finding a zipper would be easy. So
it makes life much easier. And if you get the zipper at the onset of your project, then you don't have last-minute scrambling to do.
Okay.
So I guess I'm going buying a zipper tomorrow, aren't I?
Optimistically, because I am ripping through this thing. So I got... When I sat down to knit this morning, I had 11 inches of body knit. And I needed to knit it up to 14 inches of body before I separated for the sleeves. And I separated for the sleeves, and now I'm working on the back. So... It's moving right along, which is really excellent. When my hands start to get fatigued, I move on to either housework or something else. And my other related, relevant thing that I've been doing with some of my time is that I'm alternating the knitting with spinning. So I set up one of my spinning wheels, and last night when my hands started to get fatigued, I sat down at the wheel and I worked on spinning just some sock yarn out of the Pigeon Roof Studios Superwash Merino in the colorway Mushroom Caps. And it's mostly white, and it's got these shots of deep burgundies and dark greens and browns and really lovely colors. So I'm enjoying that tremendously. And I've been working on it for a while, just not devotedly. So I had a third of it already spun, so I started on the second third, and I'm making some headway.
Excellent.
So there's that. And, last week I think I mentioned that my husband was in the back office building me shelving. And the shelving has been built, and it is about 80% set up as far as, like, getting my stash and my things.
The shelving is 80% set up? I thought the shelving was done.
The shelving's done. I haven't finished filling the shelving.
Ah.
And
but I thought that was a lifetime process.
Though it is, we're trying to make my office a place of peace and wooliness. So I set up some lighting, and it's getting there. So you can really notice the difference. There's yarn and roving going from floor to ceiling, and it really is getting there. So hopefully I'll get some pictures posted pretty soon. So that's fairly exciting.
Is it also going to be your knitting photography studio?
It might be. I haven't decided if I have the space for it in that room because the lighting is a bit bulky.
Yes.
So we'll see. But other than that, that's my exciting on the needles.
And now we talk about what Mother knows best.
This week we'd like to reiterate the importance of knitting safety. It's really, really important during the Olympics to make sure that you're not overdoing it. So we've just got some small tips and tricks and things to keep you guys in top competing form. So what I've been doing is I'm alternating knitting with something else. Anything else. I'm not sitting and knitting for hours and hours and hours, though I am doing quite a bit of knitting, it's not the only thing I'm doing all day, because I know that that's how I will end up in wrist braces with tendonitis, so.
I find that I need to get up and move about every 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when the weather is warmer, I don't have problems with the arthritis,
mm-hmm.
but working in an air-conditioned environment, while it's lovely, it wreaks havoc with my joints.
Uh-huh.
And so my hips start hurting.
Okay.
And while that does not interfere with my knitting, I feel like the Tin Man.
Uh-huh.
And then I can't stand up. So if I set a timer and every 15 minutes I stand up and do something else, then I'm also being kinder to my body.
Mm-hmm.
And don't have it complaining. Also, consider mental fatigue. I don't know if you noticed, but last night around 10,
yeah,
my knitting went down.
Uh-huh.
And I kicked back and I was done.
Yeah.
And my hands weren't tired.
Yeah.
But my brain was.
And that's something to consider. You really don't want to end up with a trip up during the Olympics because you knit while tired.
Yeah, and you don't want to end up hating knitting because
you've overdone it so much.
Yeah.
There is that as well. I really recommend, you know, getting up and moving. I got up and did laundry yesterday. I did a load of laundry. I moved stuff around. I tidied the kitchen. You know, I just did things that got me to put down my knitting for just a couple minutes so that my hands would be okay. And then the other thing we're doing is icing. Icing is so, so, so important because it'll keep the swelling down and it'll make your hands feel better. If you must take an anti-inflammatory or a painkiller, do, but don't take a painkiller and then start knitting again. You don't want to damage yourself. And that's really, let's keep it safe. Let's keep it fun. Let's just have a good time out there.
Yeah, not too much coffee. They're cracking down on people who are doping and using stimulants. So
I think coffee is perfect as a stimulant, and I don't think it should be considered cheating, but just don't overdo it. Drink lots of water, like we said last week, but remember, safety, safety, safety. Speaking of knitting or Olympic trip-ups, it sounds like we're easing into
when knitting attacks.
Mom?
Yes?
Do you have a when knitting attacks for this week?
No.
You don't?
I am down to one pre-Olympic sock.
Uh-huh.
Bunch of UFOs that I'm not looking at the time.
Uh-huh.
And the rest is my Olympic knitting. And I put my knitting down last night,
mm-hmm.
so I wouldn't be attacked by purple enraged knitting.
Well, sadly, being brilliant, it turns out, is not genetic. Thursday night, I had a bunch going on, and I wanted to get my swatch done for the Olympics, and I wanted to do this, and I wanted to do that, and so given that I had a list a mile long of other things that needed doing, my swatch didn't get cast on until 10 o'clock at night.
Oops.
Yeah. And while I was swatching, Andrew was trying to wind up the next skein of yarn so that it would be ready to go when I was ready for it, which these are pretty generous skeins of yarn. They're about 220 yards apiece, roughly.
Is this your hand spun?
This is my hand spun. So I sat down and I swatched, and I thought, this is going to be perfect. Swatching is going to be redundant. This is going to be such a breeze. I'll just do a little tiny swatch just to make sure. And I'm pretty glad I did. It turned out that I was getting, instead of 4 3/4 stitches to the inch, I was getting 4 1/3. Which...
That's a half a stitch difference.
Half a stitch difference per inch.
That's too much. Way
huge.
Too much.
Huge. And because it was 11 o'clock by the time my swatch had grown to a point where I could convince myself that it actually was 4 3/4 and not... or that it was 4 1/3 as opposed to 4 3/4, I was about ready to cry. Because here I was, I'd spun this yarn just for this project, and after setting and whacking it so it would bloom and have the hand I want it to have. It's one ply too big, effectively.
Ah.
So I was pretty miserable, and I was complaining at Andrew, and he suggested doing math. And since I'm not afraid of doing math, I reworked the pattern, and I should be getting a sweater that fits. Though Ursula said last night that she hopes very, very much that it turns out far too small for me so that she gets it. Because evidently she really likes this set of handspuns, so we'll see. But I have a very good feeling about it, so we'll see. But swatch.
Your Einstein looks lovely on her.
It does.
And she loves it.
Considering she's got, I think, half a dozen of my sweaters now.
Good. And socks?
Oh, more socks than sweaters, but... Yeah, swatching late at night is probably not advised, because I got weepy almost, because I was just like, why isn't this working? This should work. It always works. So don't swatch late at night. Don't swatch after you've had a long day. Don't drink and swatch. You know, all the standard stuff. But yeah, it was pretty troubling. Alrighty, and let's move on to events. This upcoming Sunday, this next week, August 17th, is the Monterey Wool Auction. We've been talking about the fact that we're going for a few weeks now, and we thought we'd just talk a little bit about last year's wool auction. Last year, Mom and I went together with a couple of our friends, and we had a terrific time. We went a few hours early to walk the fair a little bit, check out the Angora bunnies, eat some stuff that's really bad for us, you know, cotton candy. I may have eaten enough cotton candy to set me, you know, off like a rocket, but it was so worth it.
Funnel cakes.
Oh, funnel cakes. I love fair food. Mom and I have a weakness for funnel cakes. Actually, deep fried dough of pretty well any variety. Donuts, funnel cakes, fry bread. It's all good. And beignets, I'm sure we'd like if we had them. But we haven't had them yet. But we will.
Well, field trip to New Orleans. What kind of knitting do they do there?
Interesting stuff, I'm sure.
Yes.
Anyway, so we went a few hours early. We checked out the fleeces. The nice thing is when you get there, you sign up, you get your auction number thing. They take your name and your address, and they give you the sheet with all of the fleeces that are being auctioned off. Now, the sheet has the weight of each fleece, the breed of the sheep, the person who is the breeder or the owner, and... if there's any awards that the fleeces won, it's noted on there, as well as there are ribbons on the fleeces themselves that are winners for the fair. Mm-hmm. So last year, we bid on, between the three of us who bought fleeces, Mom didn't buy a fleece, she just went for, you know, fun.
For the fun and the fried food.
Yep.
And the company.
Exactly. So we went, and between the three of us who went last year, we ended up with five fleeces. If you're not willing to get a whole fleece because you don't need 8 pounds of whatever, I found it was really, really helpful to go in on it with a friend, because it's easier to justify the cost of half a fleece than a whole fleece if you only want part of it. So
why would you want part of it and not a whole fleece?
Well, 8 pounds of fleece is a lot. Even if you lose half of it in washing, 4 pounds of
robing. Okay, why would you lose any in washing?
Well, depending on the sheep breed, the grease can be, there can be more grease, there can be more veggie matter, there can be all sorts of things. Or there might be parts that need to be skirted off because there's, well, scat on it. And if you're like me, you don't like to handle that sort of business. So what we did is we handed off the fleeces, which were very freshly off the sheep. We handed them over to Sherry of Moro Fleece Works. And by the time they came to us, they'd lost a little bit of weight, but not much. Because the amount we've had of loss with her as far as, like, per fleece is so little that it's negligible. And she charges based on finished weight of the fleece, not based on the starting weight. So if you lose half of a merino fleece. And what I've read is that you'll usually lose about 40% of the weight of a merino fleece, generally, just because of the way it's bred. You know, then you're not getting charged for 8 pounds of fleece. You're getting charged for 4 pounds of fleece for the processing.
She charges for what she's shipping you.
Pretty well, yeah. And she does such a beautiful job. I just love spinning off of her coils. So that was our plan last year, because I have zero desire to wash and card fleeces. If you like to wash and card, that's totally cool. But as it stands, I'm completely overcommitted with things that I actually want to do. So washing fleeces falls to those who have professional equipment suited for.
Yeah, we found the hard way that cleaning fleeces is not something we like to do.
Yep. And so from there forward, we decided, after doing a brief cost-benefit analysis, that sending our stuff to Sherry is always a good idea. So
cheaper than doing it ourselves.
Yes. It costs money to send it out, and it doesn't cost money to do it yourself. But in that, my hourly rate, considering how long it would take me to do it myself, I'd rather pay Sherry to do it. It's more than a full day of work for me, so.
And you don't enjoy it?
I don't. It's not the part of the process that I enjoy.
It's one of those parts that it becomes a UFO before it even has gotten started?
The way I like to explain it is this. Babies are pretty fun. People like babies. People don't like changing diapers. This is the changing diapers part of buying a fleece for me. So I find it more appealing to send them off to Sherry or hand them directly, as the case has been.
I think she's brilliant that she is at the auction with a trailer.
Yeah.
So you buy your fleece, you schlep it over to her trailer.
You give her the information, and a few months later, depending on what color she's on. The thing is if you are hurting to spin with your new fleece, you probably shouldn't hand it off to Sherry. Sherry does her stuff by color, and I think the longest turnaround time we had on our stuff was like...
Can you explain that, please?
So, depending on the color of the fleece,
what
Sherry...
What colors did we buy last year?
Between the three of us who bought fleeces, we bought one white fleece. It was a Cormo U that was lovely. We got a natural black Romney that was unbelievable. It was the most expensive fleece we bought, actually, and it's the most beautiful natural shade of black. Colleen and Cynthia split a silver gray Romney. I got a steel gray merino, and I think I split... No, I have the steel gray merinos, all mine. And then I got a variegated charcoal and cream merino that I split with Cynthia. So we got really interesting colored fleeces.
Okay.
I wasn't into bidding on the Cormo, and I was so sorry when it came in, because it's like spinning heaven. It spins well. I'm actually spinning. I traded Colleen for a pound of hers, and I'm spinning it like cobweb fine, like it's nothing. I mean, it's wonderful. So I think she does a terrific job. If you need a fast turnaround, I suggest you do it yourself, but you won't be half as happy. But the way her equipment works, it's better to do like colors, one right after the other, rather than, you know, a white fleece here and a dark fleece there. You know, it tends to work better and keep everything more orderly. And that's just how she does it. And she says on her website that she won't sacrifice quality to get things out to people faster, which I think is...
unusual in this day and age.
Well, it's unusual in this day and age, and it shows a lot of integrity on her part as both a business owner and a craftsperson. You can't hurry someone when it comes to...
Quality.
So...
Have you ever ran out of stuff to spin while you were waiting for an order?
I haven't, but I have a stash that's unusual, from what I understand. And plus, you can always get pre-done stuff from other people while you're waiting for your fantastic fleece. I find that it's really pleasant to be surprised when your fleece shows up. So,
like Christmas.
It is like Christmas, and it's so much more fun because that way you can stagger the enjoyment. And what we did last year is I pulled a little bit of each fleece, just like a lock out of each, and I stapled them to a piece of paper And when they arrived, we knew how much of each fleece everyone got, and we got to look at it just up on the fridge every day until our fleeces showed up. So that's how we did it.
Do you keep track of who ordered what?
That too, because I hate to say it, but sometimes
we forget.
Some of us named Jasmine forget. And hindsight always is like, well, why on earth didn't I bid on this? Of course I would have bid on this. I'm not completely foolish, but when you put it in writing and everyone sees it, everyone's happy and there aren't any misunderstandings and no friendships get damaged in the process, which is good. So, beforehand you go through and you can look and touch and smell and whatever the fleeces.
And get lanolin all over your hands?
You can. You can check the staple strength and the length and the color and the, you know, texture and the whatever. And it's really fun to go through. And I made a lot of notes based on kind of what I was looking for last year in my little booklet thing. And if you have a favorite breeder who's there, you can kind of track which breeder brought which fleeces. And it's just a really, really fun day.
Except for when you find that the place that is absolutely lovely and you want very much is not for sale.
Yeah, there were a couple last year that were for exhibition only and they weren't for sale, which was kind of a bummer. But if I were the owner, I wouldn't want to sell them either because
they were amazing.
They were fantastic. I think two or three of the blue ribbon fleeces were not for sale, but
yes.
But yeah, we had a super good time. Bought a few things, got a little sunburned if you were me. So this year, if you're not familiar with Monterey, it's usually very pleasant. I find it to be a little on the cool side for me. It usually runs 70. I think last year it spiked up to maybe 75. So I go in wearing like a sweatshirt and some light slacks. And by the time the auction hits, it's usually warm enough where I peel off my sweatshirt and go, but it starts pretty cool. So bring your sunscreen, bring water, reapply the sunscreen, drink the water.
Hat?
Wear a hat. You need to have protection from the sun. This is all outdoors.
It gets really hot, and it got so hot that I had to get up and go inside for a little while, get out of the sunshine, and I looked at the exhibition hall where they had all the stuff that people had submitted to the country fair with the needlework and the knitting and the quilting and the baking.
Cool.
So it was interesting.
Excellent.
It was very interesting.
So there's more to do than just buy fleeces. So it's pretty excellent if you're planning on going. Do you say hello? Sorry.
I also like the auctioneer that they have. The pretty little girl who...
She was expecting last year when she came.
Yes. And the way she runs it is absolutely amazing. It's like the auctions you've heard on TV.
Yep.
Well, where they can't understand a word of what they're saying. It's sing-songy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know when somebody's bidding.
Yeah. You definitely know that. And if you're the one bidding, you're listening like a hawk. So do make sure to pay attention to the guidelines. Usually the prices they have posted are per pound. Before you get crazy going and bidding, make sure that your per pound bid does not exceed your budget or what you're planning on max bidding on that fleece. Doing the math in your head on the fly when you're in the middle, in the heat of battle, if you will, is a little bit stressful. So do the math beforehand, figure out where your cap is, and then work out what that is per pound. And if you are a person who sticks to a budget, hold strong. There are lots of fleeces. There will be fleeces the year after. And if you see a breeder that you like particularly, get their name. They usually will sell you fleeces, not at the auction as well. So that's super important. Don't overspend. Don't get caught up in the bidding and the craziness. Just bid what you're willing to pay.
Yeah, there were a couple of fleeces that...
They went insanely high. And I thought, all right, those are nice fleeces, but...
Not $20 a pound?
But they went up way higher than $20 a pound. There was something that hit like $32 or $33 a pound, which unprocessed, it's a little bit high. And they weren't anything special, if you ask me. So I had to keep rein on one of the gals in our group because we bid on 15 fleeces and we came home with 5. So you win some, you lose some.
So $30 a pound was not cashmere goat.
No. It was certainly not. So I think it was some kid mohair, to be honest. But in any case.
That sounds lovely.
It was, but not $30 a pound lovely. So yes, bid wisely, do the math beforehand. You know, knowledge is power, all that good stuff. So there you go. So yeah. And after the auction...
There are many places in Monterey where there is wonderful food to be had.
There really is. There's the pier that has all sorts of fun restaurants that have terrific seafood. If you're in the mood for some higher-end food, pretty close to the pier is a restaurant called Fresh Cream, where Andrew and I had our one of our anniversaries. I want to say it was either last year or the year before. And the food is spectacular. It's a bit pricey, but if you really enjoy a good meal, they're fantastic. There's other places up and down the street that are equally good, but just different and lower cost and lower key.
I think one year we went to the Boar's Head in Carmel.
We did.
Which is Clint Eastwood's restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
A Dirty Harry was not there, so.
Nope. The food was good. And the atmosphere couldn't be beat. If you're not familiar with the lay of Monterey, Carmel isn't far. Carmel is full of fantastic restaurants, which is where the Boar's Head is. And yeah, especially if you have a long drive ahead of you, we have about an hour and a half drive each direction. So we're planning on finding something to eat while we're in town and then probably head back, because after burning all that energy buying fleeces, we're going to want some sustenance before we hit the road and head back home. So definitely check it out online before you head out. If you have any friends who live in the area, I suggest asking them or call a local yarn shop down there. See what kind of recommendations they have. That's how I eat my way around town, and it's never led me astray. So
yes, that always works.
It does. So if you happen to be at the wool auction, as I've said every week, come and say hi. I have hot pink hair, and Mom is usually not far off. So, come say hi. This week, we'd like to give special mention to Tai Chi in the Rose Garden, which is what Mom had talked about earlier. It is held in the San Jose Municipal Rose Garden, taught by Greg McKenna. He teaches Yang style short form, and it's Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. He can be reached at artfulclimber@gmail.com. That's artfulclimber@gmail.com. If you contact him, he can give you his phone number for further details. We have just one more announcement. We will very likely be putting up the next podcast the Monday or Tuesday following the wool auction, so you can hear all about that. So don't worry, we're still coming. We'll just be a couple of days later than normal. As always, our show notes can be found at knitmoregirls.blogspot.com. That's knitmoregirls.blogspot.com. And you can always reach us via email at knitmoregirls@yahoo.com. Remember, this is Jasmine
and Gigi
telling you to knit more.